It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Notice the words, "but now." We see that in that verse, in verse 21, and these words indicate a turning point in the book of Romans. Up until this verse, what Paul has said has been bad news. And there's no doubt that Paul has shown man's guilt and condemnation. Paul has shown every man to be a lost and doomed sinner, guilty before God, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. In verse 21, it says, "But now." Paul says in this verse, and he wants to share the good news, "but now," he says. Well, the good news is that God has a wonderful plan of salvation, justification. This is whereby sinful men may be declared righteous before a holy God. But now, these words indicate a drastic change in the movement of this letter of the Romans that Paul has written. The next six verses are crucially important. Dr. Alva J. McLean has said the following about Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. He says, "This section is the very heart of the book of Romans. For this reason, all Christians ought to memorize verses 21 through 26. And he goes on to say, "I would select these six verses." And he continues by saying, "All of God's gospel, good news, is there and in a way found nowhere else in the Word of God." Well, this comes from his writings, the gospel of God's grace. Now, beginning in verse 21, and continuing to the end of the chapter, there is a key word which is found repeatedly. It is the word righteousness, or justified. Now, the word righteousness and the word justified mean the same thing. Verses 21 and 22 speak of the word and says the word righteousness. And in verse 24, we see the word justified. In verse 25, and righteousness. And verse 26, righteousness, and just, and justifier. Justify means to declare or pronounce righteous. Well, the key question is this: how can a righteous God save an unrighteous man and still remain righteous in doing so? Well, this question is seen in verse 26. How can God be just and at the same time justify the sinner? Well, that God can righteously judge a sinner is no problem, because this is what justice demands. But how can God justify and acquit a wicked person without compromising his own righteousness? Well, God will not at all acquit the wicked, according to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3. And that is, he will not leave the guilty unpunished. And yet, in order to save wicked sinners, God must do this very thing. And this is a problem that is solved and answered only by the cross, the death of Christ. Christ was punished in our place as our substitute, so that we might be acquitted. Now, this verse 21 talks about the righteousness of God is manifested. In other words, it becomes clear. And this is what Paul stated in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And after Romans chapter 1, 17, God's righteousness is not mentioned again until this verse, verse 21 of chapter 3. Well, Paul wanted to show us how much we need the righteousness of God in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, where it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." But notice this in verse 21, uses the term without law. Well, absolutely. Apart from is what this means, and where without also means absolutely apart from. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Well, this is speaking of Abraham. And this righteousness, which Paul is speaking of here, has nothing to do with keeping the law or with legal works of any kind. It has no connection whatsoever with the law. It is the grace of God, not the law of God, that gives man this righteousness. And once again, you go back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. God, speaking of Abraham, says he counted his righteousness by faith. He became righteous through faith. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, we can learn about the righteousness of God that is apart from the law. And as we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, which he had promised. He witnessed, in other words, afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Well, note this, without the law, Genesis 15 and verse 6 once again speaks of Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 and Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, these verses point to God's righteousness even before the law was given. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Well, this is before the law was given. And we read about faith producing righteousness, faith not just in anything or anyone, but faith in God. Well, notice that we see by the law, the law of the different sacrifices were insufficient in themselves. We see this. Insufficient, the law is insufficient. The sacrifices were insufficient in themselves to take away sins. And this pointed to the great sacrifice in which God would be fully glorified as well as his righteousness satisfied. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4 says this, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. You see, sins can only be taken away by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, notice the faith of God, the righteousness of God, is also witnessed by the prophets. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And of course, this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6 says, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. It's all of God. We are not saved by Christ keeping the law, according to Galatians 2:21, because righteousness does not and cannot come by the law. Salvation is totally because of the grace of God. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, you are not saved by works. You are not saved by anything that you can do. You are saved by and through Jesus Christ by trusting him as Savior. Well, notice verse 22 of Romans chapter 3. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon them that believe, all of them that believe, for there is no difference. Well, notice the term by faith here. This is the righteousness of God, and it is received by faith of Jesus Christ. That's what the verse says. This means that by faith, my faith has the crucified and risen Christ as its object. My faith is trusting in Jesus Christ. I have faith in him. He's the object of my faith. Galatians 2:20, you can read that later on, and you'll see the same thing. Then we see in that verse the words all who believe. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 speaks of this. All who believe receive the righteousness of God. Nowhere in the Bible is universalism taught, that all men will eventually be saved. Some people teach that. Well, the Bible teaches us salvation is offered and made available to all, but which benefits only those who believe in Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, in comparison to this, you can read that, and you can see the comparison there. Well, God limits the benefits of his salvation only to those who appropriate them by faith. Well, notice verse 23 of Romans chapter 3. I would title this section that we're looking at right now as coming up short. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, the last part of verse 22 and all of verse 23 may be thought of as sharing thought, connected, or there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All men are in the same boat, and the boat's going down. All means all. And that's all that all means. Everybody. Well, there's one exception. Jesus Christ without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 through 22, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did no sin. He's the only one who did no sin. All have sinned. How many are lost? Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus Christ, laid on him the iniquity of us all. So there's no doubt that Paul is saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no doubt. All have come short. We do not measure up to God's standards. We have missed the mark. On our own, we have missed God's target of righteousness. But we notice in that verse that I've read that about the glory of God. This refers to all that God is in his perfect character. My question to you is this. Do you know him today as your Savior? Have you trusted him? Have you received him? Have you asked him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I know I can't save myself, Lord. I'm trusting you today to save me so that I can go to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If you're ready to turn to Jesus Christ and turn from sin and say, Lord, forgive me my sin. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. I want to go your way because my way does not take me to heaven, Lord, but your way does. And I'm receiving you right now as my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray a prayer, something like that, mean it in your heart, God will save you. And you can go to heaven. I'll see you one day there. And if you are saved, you need to be telling other individuals that Jesus saves, that they can be saved just as you are saved. They can have eternal life, the eternal life that God will give them and has given them through Jesus Christ. You tell people that. Tell them how to go to heaven. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the one who can save all who will come unto him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever means everybody, anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.